As I mentioned, we're on this journey with Jesus. Jesus was known for telling parables like the one we just saw. We often call this the story of the prodigal son, but in actuality, the central character is the father. We often look at the son and we focus on that son or the other son, but it's really about the father. The spotlight is never off him. He's at the center stage at the moment of the curtain goes up. He dominates every scene, whether he's speaking or even if he's not speaking or off stage. The two sons are but supporting characters, and they're in contrast with the father. Who is that father? I believe Jesus was talking about his father in heaven. The father is God, and in all actuality, the father could be the real prodigal. You say, what? I thought the son was the prodigal. If you go to a dictionary, and you look up the word prodigal. I went to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and it said, prodigal, characterized by profuse or wasteful expenditure, lavish, recklessly spendthrift, luxuriant. You say, yeah, we see that in the son. He's the one who uses that in a wayward manner. But you also could say that about the father. How does that apply to him? The father recklessly gives away his son, his love, his care. He wastes his love on that son. This is a different kind of prodigal. Of a good father recklessly giving his love to one that he loves. His love knew no limits. It was extravagant. It was lavish that he would do. His forgiveness knew no boundaries and his joy, no restraint. He had a prodigal love for the lost. When Jesus shared this parable, he had just spoke with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were criticizing him for associating with sinners. And Jesus goes to this story and tells a story of a son who, yes, went off, but he would focus on the Father. The whole purpose of God was Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I would say Jesus coming to this earth was rather extravagant. It was rather lavish. It was a great expenditure. Some would say it was a great waste, was it? Or was it given? You see, my first point this morning is this parable tells us what God is like. I want us to look at the Father this morning. Everything in this parable is a reflection concerning the fatherhood of God. What God would do. God gave his best for creation. He had to endure the disastrous defection of humanity. Even when his wayward son is far off in a distant country, the father's mind is on him. His heart is still going out to that wayward son. Because that father loves his children. God is like that today as well. You know, this story hits home when we have to ask ourselves, which of the two sons am I more like? Oh, one is off in a far country of rebellion doing his thing. The other is at home fuming over the loss of money and unforgiving of his brother. We often focus on the prodigal son. We could focus on the older son with his problems as well. But this parable, Jesus wanted us to know the heart of God. He wanted us to know what the Father is really like. And maybe that's hard for you to consider. Maybe you had a father that just didn't care, or he was abusive, or he was distant. And it's hard for you to think about Father. In fact, that raises red flags for you. But this Father's different. This is what Jesus was trying to tell the prodigal son. And tell the others, this father loves you. Here's my second point. The father was approachable. You know, there's something about this story when you read it. This son that wanted to go off on his own, he knew he could talk to his father. He could go up to him and he could ask these things. He knew if his father was frugal and tight with his money, he would have never asked because he would have known the answer. The father might have responded, "Your money? You want my money over my dead body?" The son could have thought, "Well, I'll just wait." But he knew his dad. He knew his father. He could talk to him. And he knew he could approach him. In Luke 15, verse 12, it says, "The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them." That adds a whole new dimension. Are we talking land, possessions? Does that mean the father's going to lose something that he's had? Well, he had saved it up his whole life to give to them anyway. That's the point. And at this moment, the son is not sharing with the father his real agenda, that he wants to just take off, go somewhere else, do his own thing. He wants to run off and live his own life. Don't you think the father saw that coming? He saw those times when the son was distant, or he's off in Neverland, or dreaming of being and doing something else. He had seen that dissatisfaction before. But the father divided his property, and I'm sure there was time to sell it off. Why would the son want to leave a father like that? There's no hint of harshness. He wasn't cruel to his sons or daughters. He's not a rigid dictator. But that father wanted those children to enjoy the fruit of his labor. He wanted a relationship with them. I want us to pause for a moment. I want us to think about the inheritance that God has given us, our Heavenly Father. He's given us life, breath, an intellect, emotion, a will, a choice. All these and many, many more God gave to us. They're ours to enjoy. They're things that He gave us. So what is the problem? The problem was we often want to claim them as our own. I did this. I worked for that. I made this of myself. We often think that we can live life without God, that we make it on our own. We are what we have or what we do. You know why that son had to wander off to a far country? Because if he would have stayed at home, all the people would have known, the money you have, that's your dad's. He had to go off to a far place because when he was off in that place, he could tell everybody, this is who I am. This is what I made of myself. That problem is as old as Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve thought, you know what? We can do better. The stupidity of their independence. You know, we have trouble realizing every breath we have is a gift from God. Every breath. Every scrap of food we have is a blessing from God. But we try and forget that. We're like the younger son, trying to prove ourselves to ourselves. We want to be our own person. We think, oh, I don't need dad. There's a deeper reason why the son wanted to get out on his own. Because he thought, if I just get to that far country, I'll really know life. I'll find out where the good times are. The grass always seems greener on the other side of the road. And yeah, he found it for a moment. And then it was gone. And while he's out there feeding the pigs, there's something he had to realize. The father let him go. That's my next point. You see, God gave us a choice. The Father loved that Son so much, He loves us so much, that He does not force us to follow Him. He gives us a choice. And you say, why? Because love is not love if it is forced. God gives us that choice. He knew He could never force the Son to stay. His love could be rejected. And it was. Of course, the Father would love to make choices for us and make those choices for us, but He loves us enough to know that we need to make them. Can you imagine if you were the Father, seeing that son do that to you and then walk away? I think that father had to have tears in his eyes knowing, I love that son. All that I've been doing is for him and for his brother. But he thought he needed it now. He was in essence saying to his father, Father, I can't wait till you die. Can I just act like you're dead now and have what's coming to me? You see, for the father, the money was secondary. His love for his son was first. That son broke his father's heart. But if we think for a moment, don't you realize we break God's heart? Every time we choose to do our own thing, every time we resist his control, every time we refuse his guidance, or we renounce his goodness, some of us have already packed our bags. We're on the road, walking away from God. Maybe for others, there are some that there's a thousand little ways that you've kind of fractured that relationship with God. And you know, the Bible says that son moved to a country far, far away. That brings me to my next point. The far country is a realm of rebellion. As much as we'd like to say, oh, that's wonderful, what a great place, it's more than geography. That is a condition of the soul. It's moving as far away as possible from the Father. Maybe there's a hatred for what the Father stands for or what you think he represents. Maybe it's a total rejection of the faith that was once warm and vibrant and dynamic in your heart. But it says the son left for a far country. He didn't want to be a son anymore. I think it's better on my own. More freedom. We can drift into the same situation. We can move to that place where it's little things at first, and then it's bigger things, till finally we get to the point the things of God really don't matter anymore. We're kind of enjoying the world more than that. We use our money for that as well. Money that God gave you. When the treasures become more important than God, our Father, it tells us something about us. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That son thought his treasure was in his possessions. The father's treasure was in the son who was walking away. When we come to that point when our heart is no longer at home with God, we're looking to a far, far country. Prayer becomes more difficult if it exists hardly at all. God's guidance seems like it's irrelevant. We think, well, God's not concerned about me. You hear people talk about God, but you feel uncomfortable, and you just wonder. You're intimidated by others when they talk about intimacy with the Father. You feel God is distant, and you are just far, far away. You see, we give prodigals all kinds of labels. We say, oh, they're rebels. They're waywards. They're drunks. They're alcoholics. They're dope addicts. They're sexual indulgence. They're criminals. And yet we miss the other kind, the white-collar crime, things that people do and it makes it easier for them to get away from it. You know, the injustice that they do with their power, we miss that side of things. White-collar criminals are harder to find. I think with all the upheaval going on in our country right now, one thing you have to say is, we're discovering a lot of white-collar crime. We're seeing that. We criticize prodigals for wasting their life. Why would God waste his time on us? Wouldn't he just say it's better, forget them? But he loves you. God loves you. He's prodigal in his love for you. He's extravagant. He's restless with it, reckless with that. He sees people wasting themselves, trying to find happiness, thinking, if I just had more money, or if I just had the right relationship, why would the Father waste himself on us? Why would he send Jesus to die on a cross? You know, people are in a frantic search for meaning today, looking for purpose, security, significance. We enjoy the far country, don't we, at the expense of our relationship with the Father. The question is not, what will we do when the money runs out? But we're saying, how can we squeeze into life all that I want to do? And how can we acquire before, what can we acquire before the undertaker comes? The far, far country will take all it can get and leave us empty. The only thing it has to offer is a stark reality away from the Father. When the son's money is gone, he starts thinking again about the Father. He says, you know, even in my Father's house, the servants have food to eat. They have a place to stay. And so he starts to head back. It's hard for him because he had left on such terms. And I can imagine that long journey. He's thinking along the road, how will Dad react? And when he comes to him, he said, I'm not worthy to be your son. Can I be your servant? And I love what the Father does. He runs to him. The Bible says he's looking afar off and he sees the son at a distance. How many days had he been looking down that road? Could this be the day my son comes home? And that day he sees him, this old man starts to run towards his son, embraces him, welcomes him home, throws a feast. My son was dead. And he's alive. The son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Everybody but the older son. He's still jealous, unforgiving, and worried about money. You'd think if he'd been with the Father that long, he would have known the Father's heart, that he truly loves the lost. The Bible says that son came to himself. In his alone time, the son realized what had happened to his life. And God is just like this. He meets us. If we take that step towards him, he starts running to us because he's ready to accept us and receive us home. I love what the Father does. He kills the fatted calf. He throws on the best robe, puts a ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet. I don't know what those feet must have looked like. He couldn't afford food. I'm sure he couldn't afford shoes. But the Father saw that, and he welcomes him home. How many times we're like the older brother? You know what they did? Do you know all those things? God knew. The Father knew. And yet he's still waiting to receive us home. Why? Because he loves us. You know, this story, we often call it the story of the prodigal son. If you look at the word prodigal, maybe God is the one who's prodigal, reckless with his love, lavishly spending that on us.